Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers. Welcome to our program. I'm here with my friend Mark Martin. My name is Rick Tyler. Mark, let's start the program off with a word of prayer.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can open your word, the Holy Scriptures, and we can find in them the truth that you want us to know. That truth is personified in your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you for this time of study. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Well, Rick, I appreciate your prayer. And, you know, we haven't been together now for a couple of weeks to do this program.
Yeah, we've taken a little vacation, a little hiatus.
Yeah, and I hope the friends enjoyed the Is Christ in Christmas program that ran for the past 2 weeks.
If they didn't get a chance to hear that, we can direct them to the Prophecy Hope website.
Yeah, they'll be able to listen to it there. It'll probably be a week or so before we get it on. But you and I have been talking a lot in the past about health, and we're middle-aged now, aren't we? Maybe a little past that?
Wow, I guess we are.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, we're both in our late 40s.
Late 40s. Our birthdays are only a few months apart, aren't they?
That's right.
You know, the older I get, the more I become in tune with health.
Yeah, I'm in that same place. I feel the creaks and the groans of my bones each morning getting out of the bed. Out of bed, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, and there's always little thing here, little thing there, and I guess the older we get, the worse it'll get if we don't take care of ourselves.
You know, this time of year, a lot of people are thinking about their health. I was noticing the other day, you see a lot of ads on television, a lot of print ads about healthy things, like maybe going to a gym or starting a weight loss program.
Right.
Those ads are just prolific. You know, people think, well, the holidays are over. You gained your 10 or 15 pounds from the holidays.
It's horrible.
And now you need to worry about your health. Why don't we worry about our health and healthful living year round? That's what we should be doing.
Yes, it is. And I guess the question that comes to mind for a lot of people is, does God really care about our health?
That's a good question.
He cares about our eternal well-being, but does it really matter what I eat or how I eat today?
You know, just from you asking that question, I do think God cares about how we treat this body that he's given us.
That's a good point. I had somebody ask me not long ago, are health principles really addressed in the Bible?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It is a good question. We could take the time right now to maybe address that. Would that be all right with you?
It's a good subject for today.
It is. I think, you know, talking about health, especially this time of year, we start those New Year's resolutions,
oh,
right?
Oh, wow. There's another subject.
Yeah, let's start something new. Maybe we'll talk about that in a week or two as well.
It's awful hard to make a new habit just out of nothing.
It really is. But, you know, they say that if you want to develop a habit, you have to do it for at least consecutively. For example, when my doctor told me when I turned 40, he said it would be a good idea for you to take one of these little baby aspirins. I think they're 81 milligrams.
Right.
And for the first few weeks, I could not remember it. I would just forget it. And once in a while, I would randomly take it. But after I did it for about 7 or 8 days consecutively, it became a habit for me.
Ah, okay.
So I think when it comes to our diet, if we develop certain habits, if we get used to doing things, it makes it that much easier. But let's take a look first at John chapter 3, or 3 John, rather. I'm sorry, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. That's a little bit of a difference, isn't it?
Third John chapter one.
And remember, we're addressing the question, are health principles really addressed in God's word?
Okay.
What's it say there? 3 John 1:2.
Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth.
Does it appear to you that God is concerned about our health?
Yeah. It seems here that John is comparing our spiritual health with our physical health.
So are they really related?
Oh, they must be. Because if you don't have good physical health, how can you think and understand properly about spiritual things, about anything, really?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I've had some issues over in the past with my back. And when my lower back hurts, sometimes it hurts so bad that I couldn't even think straight. So if we feel bad, it's going to affect how we think.
Mm.
And if we eat things that aren't good for us, I believe that also affects how we think.
Yeah, it's got to have some effect.
Sure.
Because the old adage, you are what you eat.
I remember hearing that in school. Yeah.
So do we want to be a Cheeto? I mean, I don't know. I'm just asking.
That's a good question. You know, when I was a kid, I would have said, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to be a Cheeto.
Yeah.
But now I don't know. I'd rather be healthy now. I guess the question comes to mind then, if these things are addressed, why would God give us these principles? Why would he do it? I mean, if he wants us to live healthy, let's take a look at a verse. We'll begin in Deuteronomy, and we're going to go back even further as we go on. You know, we always like to start in Genesis.
Yeah, we do. We have that habit, don't we?
We do. But we're going to work our way back a little bit toward Genesis. Deuteronomy 6:24.
Okay.
And what does it say there?
And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day.
He's not only interested in our health, but he's interested in preserving our lives as long as possible.
Okay.
Let's face it, when we eat healthy, we are going to live longer.
Yeah, that's true. And we know, not from the Bible, that that's the case, but that is proved by science that the Bible is right in the health principles that it puts forward.
That's correct. Now, let's go back a little further. Exodus chapter 23. We're kind of getting closer and closer to Genesis, aren't we?
Okay. Exodus, you said?
Exodus 23:25.
Okay.
And can you read that for us?
Sure. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee.
Now, in the Old Testament, did God take care of his people?
Oh, absolutely. He tried very hard for them to accept him so he could take care of them.
So he had certain requirements, certain things that he asked them to do.
Oh, that's true. He asked them to do quite a few things.
And a part of that was actually their diet.
Mm-hmm.
Was part of some of the requirements that he had for them.
Now, these are all relational issues. In other words, they're not just do's and don'ts. These are things that are good for us to do.
Yes. You know, when you have a child, a lot of times you want them to eat a balanced diet because it's going to help them to develop right if they eat the wrong things. And those are relational things. It's not, well, no, you can't have that. It's, look, this is for your own good.
I want you to be healthy. I want you to be happy. I want your mind to be open and bright. And if we eat lousy food and we have lousy things to drink, it only stands to reason that our mental faculties and our health will be affected by those lousy things.
There you go. That's right. Now, I guess the question I have for you, Rick, is what was it that God gave? You know, Adam and Eve were created first. We're going back toward Genesis now.
Okay, okay.
So what did he, was he specific with them on what they could eat? Did he give them a diet?
I think he was very specific. In fact, I think it will be a shock for a lot of people to understand that Adam and Eve were given a vegetarian diet.
Ooh,
by God.
That's a dirty word.
Yummy, yummy.
Oh, boy. A vegetarian diet.
You know, there's a lot of negative connotations about a vegetarian diet today.
Right.
And it is a little difficult. There's a lot more involved with sticking to a vegetarian diet today.
Hmm.
But when we look back at Adam and Eve, literal garden, literal Adam and Eve,
right,
we see that God put them in a paradise. Mm-hmm. Where they would have wonderful things to eat and to drink.
A beautiful garden.
That's right.
Right? Called the Garden of Eden. That's what
right.
We call it today.
That's right.
So let's take a look at that. Let's see what God said to Adam and Eve. Do you have that verse handy as far as what they were permitted to eat?
Yes. And God said, this is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29.
Okay.
And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree-yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat.
Okay.
Or that word meat
means food.
Means food.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I would agree. Are you saying then that Adam and Eve weren't eating animals?
That's right.
I guess if there was no death, they couldn't eat animals.
That's right, because they'd have to kill something to eat it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I think we talked about that a while back. The first animal that died was the sacrifice that was made there in the garden, wasn't it?
That's right.
After sin. Now, so there we see it in Genesis 1:29. It talks about the herb that yields seed, and it says that was their food. And it also talks about a tree whose fruit yields seed, right?
That's right. Let's think about this for a moment. Here's a loving God that had just created them and created their whole world, everything that they see and know. He created them with, I'm sure, awesome taste buds, awesome sense of smell and taste and sight.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I bet we can't even sit here and imagine the wonderful things that God created for them.
That's true.
Probably there were things then that we don't necessarily have now. But how good are fresh grapes? How delicious is a fresh apple right off the tree?
When you get it in the grocery store, it's not the same as when you grow it yourself or when you pick it fresh. When I go out and I get corn off the stalk, it's so much better than it is if I buy it from the store.
And how do you know that, Mark?
Because I had my first garden last year.
All right. And let me tell you, folks, he and some of the people that work for him put a lot of time and effort into that garden.
It was very rewarding, though.
And it was very rewarding. In fact, I was the beneficiary, so to speak. I helped a little bit, but
yeah,
also I was the beneficiary of some tomatoes. And I didn't get to try the corn.
You didn't try the corn. Did you try the cucumbers?
Yes, I did.
You tried the cucumbers. We had habanero peppers.
Yeah, I didn't try those, but you had some string beans, didn't you?
They were good.
They were good.
These are the things that we were created originally to eat, according to the creation account here.
And to enjoy.
Very much enjoy. This is the one thing I want to keep in mind, and this is kind of a sidebar, but it goes right along. We have to remember that when Adam and Eve were created in that garden, and they had these vegetables and fruits and grains that were growing, they weren't pulling weeds like we have to today.
Yeah.
Those weeds came as the curse. They were part of the curse that God put on the earth.
Once sin came about. Right.
So we understand from Scripture that things are going to be back to the way they were originally in the Garden of Eden.
When we have the new earth or the paradise earth, it won't be so difficult for us to garden and to do things outside.
As it is now.
The curse came with, you will eat bread by the sweat of your brow.
Right.
Is what God told Adam.
That's what he said.
That's right.
In fact, let's take a look at that. If we look at Genesis chapter 3, this was after sin came. So even after sin, we see that the diet didn't really change. It didn't change much.
No.
Let's see. Is that Genesis chapter 3? We look at verse 18. It says, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. The diet prescribed for Adam and Eve was, in fact, a vegetarian diet, even after sin at this point.
At this point it was. I see a little bit of a change in that probably in the garden everything was natural and they would eat it in their natural state.
Right.
But here after sin you can see that God describes them eating bread, which is not such a natural state. It's an altered state a little bit by the hand of man.
Yes, it is. So we look at these texts here and we say, you know, this still makes sense because they hadn't yet, even at this point, the animal hadn't died for the sacrifice.
Yeah, that's right.
But that comes next.
It does.
Let's go a little further. I guess as we look at this, was there a change in the diet in Genesis? Was there something that changed? And I think there was a change right after the flood.
Right after the flood. I think that's Genesis chapter 9, isn't it?
Genesis 9, I think you're right. And we're going to revisit this, but we want to lay a few, we want to lay down a few things about this first. Genesis chapter 9, and you notice here in verse 2.
Mark, can I stop you and back up?
Back up.
You know, there's a promise here at the end of chapter 8.
Okay.
God promises that the earth is going to remain until he causes it to change.
Right.
And there's going to be heat and cold. Cold and heat is what this verse says.
That's 8,
and
verse
summer
22.
And winter and day and night shall not cease. So the earth is going to remain the same. We're going to have seasons so that we can plant and we can harvest.
Yes.
So that is a precursor to chapter 9.
Right.
Where it says in verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. That's interesting to me because evidently there was no fear of man from the animals or
animals. Because Noah did load the ark. I mean, the lions and the tigers and all these animals that we would fear today, he put them right on the ark, didn't he?
Sure. And he had to live with them on that ark for
he
a period
of time.
Them.
Yeah. We consider those things. Now, it also says, and this is one of the questions that come up a lot, verse 3 says, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. Is that what it says in your translation?
Yeah, pretty much says the same thing. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. Of course, if you look up that word meat, in the Hebrew, it means food or fuel.
Right. So God was saying at this point, he's saying, okay, you just came off of the ark. There, you're on top of a mountain. You haven't grown anything yet. I'm going to allow you to eat animals.
I can't imagine there's any vegetation to eat.
There probably wasn't. And, you know, they had been on that ark for a long time, over a year.
Yeah.
And so he's allowing them to be able to eat meat. But now we have to determine, okay, is it okay to eat any kind of meat?
Well, he does say everything here, right?
That's what it says.
Yeah.
But let's do a little reasoning from the Bible here. Let's take a look, and this happens a long time after Noah's Day, but we're going to come back to Noah's Day here in just a little bit.
Okay.
Let's take a look at Leviticus chapter 11.
Ah.
Now, this is important to us, and I'm going to tell you right now that when a lot of people look at Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy, where we're going to go next, people will say, well, wait a minute. I'm just going to set this up now. This is part of the Mosaic Law, which is true.
These are the rules that God had for his for the nation of Israel. Yeah, ancient Israel.
Yes, so Leviticus chapter 11. Let me get my Bible open there. I was running my mouth and didn't open it. Here we go, Leviticus 11. And I'm just going to start here in verse 1.
Okay.
It says, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. And he says, among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hooves and chewing the cud, that you may eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud or those that have cloven hooves. And then he goes on to enumerate some of them. He says the camel, because it chews the cud but does not have the cloven hoof, it's unclean to you. The rock hyrax, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, it is unclean to you. The rabbit or hare, because it chews the cud but does not have a cloven hoof, it's unclean to you. And the swine, or we could say the pig, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud, it is unclean to you. Now it goes on, but do you see a common theme here?
Yes, I do.
What are we looking for when we're looking for a clean animal to eat?
Well, this passage says it needs to have hooves that are split, or divided hooves, split hoof,
right,
and chew the cud.
Good. That's exactly what God says is clean and unclean. He's giving us the understanding that it must chew the cud and have a cloven hoof.
Mm.
You agree?
I do agree.
Both. If it does one or the other. So a deer, would deer be a clean meat?
Yes, because it has both.
Yes. What about a cow?
Yes, because it does both.
Yeah,
it has both.
And he goes on, if you take time, Leviticus chapter 11, it's very descriptive. Very descriptive. And it even goes into some of the birds that are clean and the ones that are unclean. There are birds that are clean and there are ones that are unclean.
It goes into fish also.
Yes. What's the prerequisite? What are we looking for in a fish?
Verse 12 says, "Whatsoever hath no fins or scales in the water, that shall be an abomination to you."
Okay.
Okay, so fins and scales, let's say a salmon,
right?
A common salmon has both fins and scales on the side of it.
Yeah.
So that would be a clean fish for us to eat. But what about something like shrimp? It doesn't seem like shrimp has fins or scales, does it?
No, and you know, a lot of these shrimp are bottom dwellers, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
What do shrimp eat?
Well, they eat the refuse from every other animal swimming above them. So do other bottom dwellers like clams and oysters. They don't have any fins or scales.
You're right. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 14, if you folks want to write that down. So we just looked at Leviticus 11. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 14 sounds this down because in Deuteronomy 14:6 it says, "All animals which do not have a split hoof and chew the cud," it tells us that they're unclean. And then it says in Deuteronomy 14:9, basically, that the fish that don't have both fins and scales, they are unclean. They have to have both. Also, in Leviticus 11, it talks about the birds of prey. For example, a vulture. That's a scavenger, isn't it?
Yeah, we want to stay away from eating that.
But chicken is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken is considered a biblically clean meat. Let's just do a little review. We'd say of the unclean animals, we'll include some fish in this. We could say pigs, right?
That's right.
Anything else?
Maybe squirrels and rabbits, catfish.
Yeah. What about lobster?
Yeah, I know a lot of people out there are saying, "Oh, man, I love my lobster."
You know, I'm from Baltimore originally. And being from Baltimore, you know, there was a crab house on the corner of every, and there still is. You have crab houses everywhere.
That's right.
And, you know, our family gets together and we'd love to have a crab feast. But, you know, these crabs, they actually eat the feces from the fish. And they are unclean creatures. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I thought about it, is it really worth it? Well, you know, if I'm pleasing my God, if God is asking something of me, then I should be willing to do whatever he asks.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Mark. You know, we talked about a vegetarian diet
mm-hmm.
and how Adam and Eve started out with that. I think we'd have to infer from that the vegetarian diet is the best diet to have.
Right.
And science, modern science, is starting to finally agree with the biblical example of that.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. We can finally get our science wrapped around the fact that the Bible has been right.
For 6,000 years. Well, at least God has been right for 6,000 years in that
that's
regard.
Right.
The Bible's only about, what, 18, well, 20, how far does the Bible go back? 1600 BC, I guess, or BCE.
Yeah, so
3,600 years or so.
Yeah. So, and now we see, we're taking a look at the biblical clean and unclean meats.
Right.
And we can also see that there are things in the scientific world that seem to say and agree with what the Bible has always told us.
Right.
And that these bottom dwellers, these animals that do not have a complex system inside themselves for eliminating waste. You know, a cow, it's supposed to eat green grass.
Right.
And so we're getting that secondhand from the cow.
We are.
But what does a pig eat? It eats
anything. It'll eat its own young, actually.
Yeah, it will. It'll eat just about anything that you put in it.
And its digestive system works within just a few hours. So
yeah, we know a cow has four stomachs, and its digestive system works to eliminate all the ugly things that it eats.
I've heard that a cow has two stomachs, and I've done a little bit of research on that, and I have to say that its digestive system works as if it has two stomachs, but from what I've studied, they say that it really doesn't have two stomachs, but it's as if it does. So
okay.
I don't know. I'm not a veterinarian. I guess I could ask a vet.
It's much more complex.
Absolutely.
Than some of these other animals.
It sure is. According to the Bible, if we're going to stick to the biblical diet, as we mentioned, pigs and squirrels and rabbits, catfish, which I used to love catfish, eels, lobster, clams, crabs, shrimp, oysters, frogs, you know, all of these things, you know, crocodile, shark.
You know. Yeah, shark does not have scales. It has fins, but it doesn't have scales. But Mark, now wait just a minute. You know, is the Bible really being straight with us, or is it kind of being duplicitous? It's kind of pulling a fast one on us, because here in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it's telling us one thing, that there are clean and unclean meats. But back in Noah's time, back in Genesis chapter 8 and 9, it said God was giving them everything that creepeth on the earth giving for meat.
That's a great question, and I've been asked that quite often. But let's go back there to Genesis, and let's take a look at what Noah was told.
Okay.
We go back to Genesis chapter 7.
Okay.
And we look here. Would you begin with, just read verse 1 first.
Okay. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1.
Yes.
And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation.
Okay. So we know Noah was a righteous man. I don't think there's any doubt in our eyes.
Okay.
Right?
And this is the ark that God told him to build, the big boat.
Yes, very big.
Okay.
You know, I always ask this question. I ask people all the time, how many of each kind of animal did Noah put on the ark? And do you know the answer I get all of the time is two.
Two of each. Yeah.
When I was in elementary school, we used to sing a song that Noah loaded the ark two by two.
Two by two. That's right.
And that's what I believed all of my life.
You're telling me that the Bible says something different than that?
Well, it does say that. But it says something else also. Would you read verse 2 for us? Genesis 7, verse 2.
Wait a minute. Of every clean beast? Wow. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens. Huh. And the male and his female. And the beasts that are not clean by two. The male and his female. Wow.
Hmm. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Is this significant?
Even Noah. Even Noah must have understood what God was saying with the clean and unclean beasts.
Yeah. See, and I always get the argument, well, this was a rule for the Israelites. This was the rule for the Jewish people.
Well, Noah lived a long time before there were ever Jewish people.
Right. This was 2400 BCE.
Yeah.
Is when the flood, approximately when the flood took place. I think most historians would say 2370 or so BCE, but the Exodus from Egypt took place about 1513 or so.
Even if you went back to when Joseph went into Egypt,
right,
and you could actually say that was a period of time where Joseph and his lineage was Jewish at that point, were Israelites at that point, because Jacob's name had been changed at that point. You could say that even 400 years before the Israelites came out of Egypt, there were Jews on the earth.
That's right.
But that doesn't put us anywhere near Noah's time.
Yes. So I guess the point that we're making, friends, is that Noah knew the difference between a clean and an unclean animal.
Yeah, that's what the scripture says right here in Genesis 7.
Because the clean he loaded by sevens and the unclean by twos. The other thing to think about is if Noah had thought it was okay to eat the unclean animals, and let's suppose there was a male and a female pig, and he says, you know what, let's have a pork roast, I'm going to cook this thing up and slaughter it. Unless they had mated, the pig would have become extinct.
That means he would have killed one of them. How would they How would they have made it unless they didn't?
Right. It would have had to be before. Next, we look at Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. And we notice that Noah had learned something from his ancestors that was passed on from Adam and Eve that is vital to our understanding of why this is so important. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. What's it say?
Verse 20 says, "And Noah built an altar. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar."
Why is this significant?
Wow. God is asking for a specific sacrifice.
He is.
This reminds me of the story of Cain and Abel, where Abel gave an acceptable meat offering to God, but Cain brought fruits and vegetables from his own hand.
He wanted to worship the way he wanted to worship.
But it seems like here Noah built the acceptable altar to God and then offered the things that God had asked him to sacrifice on this altar. The clean animals.
The clean animals.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why they were on the ark by sevens.
I see. So there was not only animals to offer as a sacrifice to God.
Right.
And this was by faith. I mean, this isn't works that we're talking about. In other words, Noah understood that these things weren't making him acceptable to God.
Right.
But the faith that was in his heart, these works showed the faith that had already developed in Noah's heart.
Yes.
Was pointing towards the ultimate sacrifice of God's only begotten Son.
Amen.
Okay, so this is all about faith. It's not about works. Okay. Right. And also we can see that God allowed Noah to have meat for food, clean animals, clean birds. And I'm sure there's a lot of clean fish around.
Yes. Of course, the fish in the ocean were not destroyed. Everything in the ocean continued to live.
Mm, amazing.
And I think that's why there's such abundant life in the ocean as well.
Probably right.
But friends, we want to take just a moment before we continue and tell you that if you have any questions about the program or anything that you would like to share or any kind of input that you have, you can email us. You can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com, or you can email Rick.
At rick@prophecyhope.com. And remember, our website is prophecy. Of course, it is prophecyhope.com. There's many things on our website. There's tremendous presentations by Mark. For the past 2 years, he has given what I would call wonderful presentations right from the scripture. 2012, in October, we did a seminar that had 7 nights. And also in 2013, in October, we did a seminar, a local seminar, that had 7 nights.
And we want to let you know, too, that there are archived radio programs on there that you can find. And there are some sermons that are given by a friend of ours named Bruce Galbraith and another friend named Ed Short. We want to tell you, too, we're going to be adding to the sermon section as time goes on. Hopefully within the next few months we'll be adding more and more. And there are little health blurbs on there by a friend of ours named Pat.
Yeah. In fact, my wife and I were watching some of that the other day. You know, Pat is just a complete joy.
She is
one of these people that you recognize right away when you see her speaking or when you meet her in person, that she has a tremendous relationship with the Father and the Son.
Amen. There's no doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
And friends, we also want to thank New Visions Radio for giving us the opportunity to be on the air. It's www.newvisionsradio.com. And we want to thank you for tuning in. But I want to get back, Rick, to you were talking about the sacrifice. You know, God only accepts a clean animal.
Oh, that's true.
He only accepts a clean animal, not unclean. And I've had people ask me, too, you know, I love pork. I love bacon. I love sausage. Would God really destroy me if I eat pork? And, you know, when they ask me this question, immediately my mind goes to Isaiah 66.
Oh, wow. You know, it sounds like a loaded question to me. Will God really destroy me? Wow.
Would you like to read Isaiah 66:15-17? And let's put it, what's the context of Isaiah 66?
Well, the context is, I guess, the ultimate ransom of all those who want to be true and faithful to the true God. Would you say that's the context?
Yeah, I think
the context is the New Jerusalem.
Yes.
The earth recreated without sin.
Yes.
Okay.
And what we're saying, friends, is we know that the Bible teaches that the earth was once a beautiful garden, and it was perfect. There was no death. There was no sin until sin entered. But God's going to remove that, and Isaiah 66 is in the context of that earth restored through the promise of the Messiah who came. At this time, he hadn't come when this was written, but the promise coming was in the future. We know now that he's already came. He's coming again. And after he comes that second time, and once that 1,000-year period is through, the earth will be renewed to what we're talking about here.
That's a wonderful promise.
But this actually is talking about during the second coming, I believe, if we look at Isaiah 66, verses 15 through 17.
Well, verse 15, my Bible puts in a paragraph mark right there.
Okay.
So that it's a new thought. And here's what it says. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Second coming of Christ, right?
Okay.
For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, that the slain of the Lord shall be many. And here's who they are, verse 17. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind the one tree in the midst. Wow. That's language that comes straight from Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Also, it says they sanctify themselves. That goes back to what I was saying about Cain and his sacrifice. He wanted to do it the way he wanted to do it.
That's right.
And that's what this text is talking about. People that want to use their own understanding to make themselves acceptable to God. Okay.
Yes.
And let me keep reading here in verse 17. Eating swine's flesh and the abomination. We just read about that swine's flesh is not good for us.
Right.
And the abomination, the things that are an abomination according to God, the things that we might eat.
Right.
And the mouse, let me keep reading, and the mouse shall be consumed together, says the Lord. In other words, all these things God's going to do away with in his anger against sin.
So not that he's going to do away with the mouse or the swine.
Right.
But it says in the translation that I have, starting at the beginning of verse 17, it says, those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves. First of all, we can't do that.
That's true.
Only the blood of Christ can do that.
That's right. But Cain tried.
He tried.
And there's many people trying to do that today.
That's correct. And then it says, to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, says the Lord. This is talking about at the second coming of Christ. Mm-hmm. This appears to tell me that if we are doing these things, if we are trying to sanctify and purify ourselves, if we're eating swine's flesh, he considers that an abomination.
Mark, let me ask you why these people think it's okay to do these things. It's because, and I'm going to answer my own question.
Okay.
I'm going to bring it back to relationship with God again. If we take God at his word and understand that these things are really not good for our health,
right,
we won't be doing them out of that understanding. We'll take God at his word. We'll take what by faith we should be taking from the word of God. These are relational issues.
Right.
So if we want to disregard what God has to say about these health issues, it's because in our hearts we really don't want to believe God and the things that he's telling us.
Wow.
These are relational issues. This isn't about do's and don'ts. It's about really where our heart is in a relationship with the creator of the universe.
You know, Rick, I have to agree with that. Let's think just for a moment, going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Was it important in the garden before sin what they would or would not eat?
Oh, very much so. In fact, that was the test of faith that our Heavenly Father gave them. It was about appetite. It was about whether or not they were going to believe that one tree was the tree of eternal life, the tree of life, and the other tree told them to stay away from. Don't even go near it.
If you eat from it, you shall die.
Right.
And I think he's telling us here, if we eat certain things and we understand that. Now, let me get this straight, friends. I want to tell you that I believe that there are many people who have eaten pork and eaten all of these unclean things that are going to be in the kingdom of heaven.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you, Mark.
But the reason for a ministry like Prophecies of Hope is to inform people, to let them know that there are things that God approves of and disapproves of. And if we know these things and we understand from Scripture that they're wrong and we continue to do them, then we have made a choice as Adam and Eve have made a choice. We can either choose to eat from the things that God has told us we can eat or to eat the things that he told us not to eat.
It's all about where our hearts are, what we really love. If we really love God and want to have a relationship with him, not only now but throughout eternity, we'll want to do the things that he asks us to do. It's not unlike the marriages that we have, Mark.
Right.
If we want to have a strong relationship with our respective spouses, we'll go along with some of the things they want and need, and we want to give them good gifts, don't
we?
Yes,
that's right. That's I do. Right. I love giving my wife nice gifts. So, now wait a minute, Rick. Let's back up, because isn't there a verse that says it's not what goes into the mouth, but what comes out that defiles a man?
I think that verse goes right along with what I've been saying about relationships. But we need to read it straight from Scripture.
Okay, do you know where that is?
It's in Matthew, I believe.
Okay.
Matthew chapter, is it chapter 15?
Matthew 15. Let me find that real quick. I've heard this text used many times. How about verse 11? Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's right.
What's it say?
Hey, this is Jesus speaking.
So this is very important then.
Yeah, it must be. Verse 10 says, Matthew chapter 15, starting with verse 10. And he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defileth a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man.
You know, on the surface, that sounds to me like it's okay to eat anything.
Anything we want. We can just drink it right down, guzzle it right down, chow right down on it.
Yeah, but in the context of what we just read a moment ago, we looked at all these things in the Old Testament that said that these things were wrong, and now Jesus is saying this. How are we to understand these verses? I guess we have to back up and look at the early part of this chapter and see what he's talking about.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's back up to, if we look at verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1, it starts off. Oh, he's having interaction here with the scribes and Pharisees. This is always interesting.
It is.
It says, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?
Ah.
For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. So, wait a minute. What was the verse you just read? Verse 11?
Yeah, 11.
What's it say?
It says, not that which goes into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defiles a man.
Hmm. So the subject of Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20, is eating without first washing your hands. Would you agree, Rick?
Yes, it is.
And that's what verse 2 is telling us. So the focus is not eating, but washing. And it seems like the scribes taught that eating any food without special ceremonial washing would defile the person that was eating it.
And these were their traditions. That's the point of verses 1 and 2.
That's it.
Oh, 2 and 3, I should say. Because Jesus answered in verse 3 and said unto them, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? He's making a pointed statement talking about why do we have traditions that do away with really what God has told us in the Scripture?
Yes, because really what he's saying is the ceremonial washings that they were doing, which was all the way up to the elbows, I might add,
mm-hmm.
They were meaningless. They were meaningless. They really didn't mean anything regarding the commandments of God. These were the traditions that they had started. And in fact, look at Matthew 15, verse 19. And it tells us there are certain evils, he says. What's it say there? 15, verse 19.
For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. And verse 20 says, these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man.
That drives it home, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It puts everything in context. Jesus wasn't talking about the things that we could or could not eat.
Right.
He's talking about the traditions of men trumping the commandments of God and how we shouldn't let that happen.
Okay. Now, we have to address another one. We're running out of time. And we have to address another text, which is Acts chapter 10.
I've heard this quite a few times.
Yes, this is really interesting. Now, Acts chapter 10, we're going to read this rather quickly. There's a lot here. And friends, I'd like you to follow along. Acts chapter 10. Rick, do you mind if I start off here?
Go right ahead.
Verse 1, it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea named called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. A devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Now the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. The sixth hour is about noon.
Yeah, about noontime. That's
it's
right.
Lunchtime. This is very significant. Verse 10. This is talking about Peter. He became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they had made, while they made ready, he fell into a trance. What does yours say?
It says the same thing.
Okay.
He may have been in like a vision.
Sure. And it says, and he saw heaven open, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him. Evidently, this is the voice of Jesus.
Okay.
It said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And what did Peter say in verse 14?
He said, not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Evidently, Peter realized that all these things he saw in the sheet were not clean animals.
Yes, and keep in mind, this is after Jesus' ascension to heaven.
Well after, yes.
Okay. Verse 15 says, and a voice spoke to him again a second time and said, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now, most people look at that and they say, well, he's talking about the animals.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like.
But we got to put it in context to the whole chapter.
Let's put it in context. This next verse is very important because it says this was done how many times?
Three times.
Three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision, which he had just seen, meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you.
Interesting.
So he had the dream three times,
mm-hmm.
and there were three men that were seeking him.
Ah, okay.
That's very important.
It is.
Now, as we look at this, when we move along, we don't have time to read all of this, but it's so important that we understand what's taking place here.
Mark, I just want to point out one thing. The crux of this has to do with what Peter thought of the Jews versus the Gentiles.
Yes.
And these three men, it's pointed out in the early part of the verse, came from Cornelius. They were not Jewish people. They were Gentiles.
That's what we established early on, wasn't it?
And God is trying to tell Peter something about his acceptance of every person, no matter whether they're a Jew or a Gentile.
Amen. That's the whole key.
And that's the crux of all of this.
As you read through these verses, friends, notice he had this three times that the sheet came down with these unclean beasts. Peter knew they were unclean. He says, never has anything like this passed over my lips.
Yeah, that's right.
And then there were three men who came seeking him. Well, when we get to verse 34, Rick, if you would read verses 34 and 35.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him."
Yeah. See, right before this, he realizes that what had happened was this dream was not about the food being clean or unclean.
No, it wasn't.
But God gave him this dream so that he would recognize that all men, God's not partial, and he has opened the door for everyone listening to this program, everyone on this planet, to have an opportunity to be a part of his kingdom.
That's right. It doesn't matter where we come from, what nation we live in.
Amen.
Whether we're a part of the Jewish nation and the Israelite nation or not, God loves us and wants us to be in part of his kingdom.
Yeah. And that's the point, friends. The point to this whole thing is that this whole part of Acts chapter 10 is that you can have an opportunity to be a part of that kingdom.
Yeah, it's not about what we eat or what we drink or anything like that.
Although what we eat and what we drink is important to God.
It's very important. That's what we've seen in this study, Mark.
Yes. Now, a little more, I'd like to just touch on a couple of things. Number one is, if the hog isn't to eat, why is the hog here?
Well, it's a pretty good cleanup animal, that's for sure.
Yeah, they eat what's left over.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
If I'm going to eat fruit or vegetables and I'm going to throw an apple core or a banana peeling away, they can finish that up. If it doesn't decompose, that can be food for them.
Even if it does decompose, they'll eat that.
That's true. They will. They will. Now, there are some other aspects of our health. Since we have a few minutes left, there are some other aspects about this, and we were talking about this early on, about not just what we eat, but how much we eat.
Oh.
I tend to, you know, Thanksgiving comes, boy, I'd throw that turkey on, and I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, I'm guilty as charged there.
But, you know, Proverbs...
Everything in moderation.
Yes, Proverbs 23, verse 2, and I'm going to read this from the Contemporary English Version. It says, "Don't go and stuff yourself." That would be just the same as cutting your throat.
Wow.
How does it read in the King James? Proverbs 23:2.
It says, "And put a knife to your throat if you be a man given to appetite."
Hmm. You know, we were talking about it just a moment ago. It was appetite that got Adam and Eve in trouble.
Yeah.
And this is something that I struggle with. I love to eat, and I am overweight. Anybody who's seen our website, they look at me up there, they can tell I'm overweight.
Yeah, I think they can tell the same thing about me also.
Yeah, but you're not as bad as I am. Now, there's something else in the health issue that I think we can touch on just for a moment, and that is things like tobacco. Does God condemn the use of tobacco?
I don't think outright he condemns it, not in plain speech, but I think... We have enough knowledge about things like tobacco. I think of things like illegal drugs that we know do not do our health any favors.
Right. So there are things that we need to be aware of.
Yeah, there's a moral aspect to everything that we put into our bodies.
Amen. Now, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And this is going to wrap us right back around to the things that we were talking about at the very start of the program today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are.
That's amazing. You know, we serve a God that does not dwell in temples made with hands.
Amen.
He dwells inside of us. Don't right. we want to keep that temple clean and undefiled from anything that would defile it?
Yes, we do. You know, Rick, and that goes right back to the fact that we talked earlier about the sacrifice that Noah made. Every sacrifice in the Bible that was pleasing to God was a clean animal.
Yeah, that's right.
It was never anything unclean. You would never take an unclean animal to the temple of God for sacrifice.
Oh, that's true. No pigs inside there.
Right. So I guess that makes me ask the question, if I and you and everyone listening is the temple of God, would we want to put anything that is defiling or unclean in that temple?
No, we wouldn't. You know, it's amazing to me what the traditions of men have brought to bear. You know, what's the number one dish at Easter time?
Isn't that an Easter ham or something?
Easter
like that?
Ham? Yeah, that's right. But you know, Jesus, I'm sure, would never have eaten ham. For one thing, nobody ate a pig in the nation of Israel back then,
right.
Anyway. So, this so-called holiday that we take a look at when Christ was crucified and rose from the dead,
mm-hmm.
around that time of year, the Passover time of year in
right.
the spring. People want to eat something to celebrate that or to remember that Jesus would have nothing to do with. It's just amazing to me.
It is. It's something how these traditions catch on.
Yeah, we talked about that, how the traditions of men override the commandments of God.
Hmm. I'd like to close with one last verse, if I may. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you."
Wow, that's a powerful text, Mark.
Yeah. Rick, I guess what we're saying is, let's start the new year off with these thoughts in mind. And it can be very difficult sometimes to lay down things that we really like. You know, I love sausage and bacon, but there are substitutes. Turkey sausage, turkey bacon. You know, turkey is a clean animal.
Yeah, there's even vegetarian substitutes.
That's correct. There are.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things, friends, that we just want you to think about. And you know, we all want to be pleasing to God as much as we can. And do this study. There's also a program on the website called God's Free Health Plan where we touch on these topics and we do it even in more depth. But we want to thank you for tuning in. And before we finish, let's close with a word of prayer, shall we, Rick?
Okay.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you care enough about us, that you share with us in your manual, the Bible, the things that are best for us. We thank you so much for everything that you do, that we can have this program, that we can share with others the truths that are coming off of the pages of your word, the Bible. We thank you. We pray that you will be with those who are listening. And until we come together again, we ask that your spirit will dwell with each one of us. And we say this prayer in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So, Rick, I really enjoyed the program today. Look forward to the one that we do next week. And friends, we want to sign off by saying to you, until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.